All the Thompsons with us, John and Soyon and Judah. And this is their first time back. I mean, they were here last Sunday, but their first time to share with us and to report this morning since they left the church about a year and a half ago to be sent out as our really first missionaries to the Himalayas. So it is a wonderful privilege to have them back here today. For those of you who don't know a little bit of their story, I'll tell you just very briefly. I could be really mean here but with John and tell you about all his time in prison and all of that, but I won't bore you with those details. That's a joke. Some of you might be familiar with them in that they were here in the church as singles, unbeknownst to each other. They went on a mission trip to Nepal, must have been about 3 years ago. It was on that trip that something caught their eye and one another. So I'm telling you, all you singles, go on a missions trip. You never know what will happen. And God somehow began to work in their lives in a way that brought them together. They got married actually right here in this auditorium right here about 3 years ago. And then they've had a child, beautiful young boy, Judah, who is about, I think, a year and a half, somewhere right around there. And then just a little after his birth, they left from here and they went to Nepal to serve in Mountain Child in our headquarters in Kathmandu. And if you're not familiar with the organization, there is a information table out in the front foyer specifically about Mountain Child. And there are five core issues that we try to address amongst children, not just in Nepal, but across the Himalayas. And that is health, trafficking, anti-trafficking efforts, education, child labor, and environmental issues. And John and Soyana are involved in a lot of different of those different ways in those five issues, but they have also specifically focused in on a lot of the anti-trafficking efforts. And I just want to ask them to please come and join me up here at the front, and let's give them a warm welcome this morning from the nations, and really embrace them as they come. Wonderful heroes of our church family here, and we're so glad to hear from them today. They're going to share with us now.
Hello, the Nations Church. We're very happy to be here, and we really appreciate all of your prayers and messages and just ways that you connect with us in Nepal. It means a lot to us, and we're excited to be back and to be able to share a little bit about what God is doing in Nepal. So I'll just hand it over to
Okay, you can go to the next slide. I've had a lot of questions since we've been back about what's it like in Korea for you guys now. You've lived here before, but you've gone over to Nepal for about a year and a half, and Jack and I were talking, and it feels like when I got off the airplane, I had traveled into time, and I was like 50 years ahead of what we had come from. Nepal is kind of a developing nation, and Korea is insanely developed, and I went to a 4D movie, The Avengers, the other day, and somehow the Koreans managed to put another dimension into the movie-going experience, so it is just completely different. So there's lots of challenges to living. Can you go to the next slide? Okay, next picture. One of the challenges is the pollution. Kathmandu is just like a city that sits in a bowl, and all the fumes kind of go up, and it creates a lid on the bowl. And so every time I blow my nose, it's black. It's really, really polluted. Little electricity, little bit of water. Next one. Trash everywhere. They just dump their trash into the rivers, and so everywhere you go, everywhere you look, you see trash on the side of the road. Next one. Lots and lots of traffic. Lots of bikes, lots of cars. Next one. And it may appear that it's kind of crazy and frantically paced in Nepal, but actually the pace is very slow. So it makes simple tasks really, really challenging to do. So for instance, if I want to put petrol in my scooter, sometimes I have to wait an hour and a half in line. Other times we've had to wait 6 weeks for a gas tank to be filled. And so these are just some of the challenges of living in Nepal. Next slide. And so oftentimes we're just pulling our hair out and we look like this at the end of the day. Next one. Not only is it challenging to live there, but the spiritual atmosphere, the spiritual condition there is very difficult to live in. There are temples everywhere you look. These are Hindu temples and Buddhist temples. They're just covering the landscape. Next one. Here's a pilgrimage. They're taking what they consider holy water from one area and walking weeks to bring that holy water to another area. And they believe that will serve them better in the next life to come. Next one. The holy water comes from the Bagmati. This is the epitome of deception, I believe. It is one of the filthiest rivers I've ever seen. They're burning bodies here. They dump them in. They throw all their trash in there. And they believe that if they bathe in that water and they drink that water, that will cleanse them from their sins. Idols everywhere. Every single corner, I'm not even joking, there's some kind of shrine or some kind of idol. Here is a huge golden cow that they walk around several times in worship. Next one. There is about 80% Hindu and about 10% Buddhist in the country of Nepal, so there's many monasteries. And next one. And so a lot of people, they'll say, well, why don't you just leave them alone? But if you actually talk to them, they're really driven by fear. Many times the first thing that they talk about is the evil spirits that is plaguing them. And so their way out of that is to do lots of works. It's really works-based religions that are over there. So there's difficulty, but the joy of the Lord is our strength. So we have really fun, good times as well. And that's Scott. I don't know if you guys remember Scott from the Nations. Next one. And he makes us strong in those challenges. So that's Judah. Next one. Next, okay. And we're really enjoying it. We love it in Nepal, and we're trying to adapt and learn the culture, eating the food, the dress, the people, all of those things. Next slide. And just some of the things that we're doing, we're teaching and mentoring interns about frontier missions. This is Charlie, the guy that's kind of hanging up a string there. He's from Alabama. He's with us for 3 months, and so we had opportunities to share and to teach with him. These are my monk friends. On the left is Samten. On the right is Kelsang. I had an opportunity to spend about a year with them discipling and going through the Bible chronologically, storing and just sharing Christ with them. I was able to give them a Tibetan Bible. And so Samten, he lives in France now. And Kelsang on the right, he was in Romania for a couple months but has since come back. And so I consider Kelsang to be one of my really close friends in Nepal. And so we're always praying and always inviting him over for dinner and things like that and just building that relationship with him. We're doing a lot of experimental gardening as we're learning more about it right now and just practicing and trying some things in order to use that as a platform in villages to share the gospel. Next one. And we've even had opportunity to go trekking with the Nations Church. This is Judah's first trek. And you see Laura on the left and Andre on the right and Scott in the middle. And it was really challenging. Judah's like 14 kilos. And so that's the heaviest pack I've ever carried. So we in this picture, we got to go to a village with Christians and just encourage them and just build up their faith and really share and a good time of fellowship there. And next one. And we've been spending a lot of time with the children at the ranch. That's a children's home in Nepal. Mountain Child has a booth in the back. You can read more about that home. But Sayan teaches art to the children, and we just get to spend a lot of time with them. So those are some of the things that we've been doing in Nepal. Next slide. But our main focus has been the anti-trafficking, as Jack was saying before. And we just really feel like trafficking is a huge issue globally, and we want to be in the fight against it. And so we're going to look a little bit what trafficking looks like in Nepal and some of the things that we're doing to fight trafficking. So trafficking, defined by the UN, is a crime against humanity. It's basically slavery. It involves act of recruiting, transporting, transferring, harboring, or receiving a person through a use of force, coercion, or other means for the purpose of exploiting them. Next slide. And so what does that look like in Nepal? What does sex trafficking look like in Nepal? And sex trafficking is what we're mainly focused on. These are very conservative statistics. They say that 16,000 in Nepal every year are trafficked. This is just sexual trafficking. This is not any other kind of trafficking. And 65% are under the age of 18. Most are trafficked when they're 14 and 15, but we're seeing a growing number between the ages of 10 and 12 years old. Really, really young girls that are being taken and put into brothels. People believe that because they're younger, they don't carry any kind of sexually transmitted diseases. So it's just a terrible, terrible situation in Nepal. Next slide. And so how are these children being trafficked? Well, many of the girls are coming, many of these children, these girls are coming from villages that are very poor, and it's very difficult to live in the village life. So someone comes in, whether it's a broker or a family member or something, and they come in and they promise these girls a big life in the city, an education, a really good paying job. And so the family agrees, they go to the city, and they're put into a brothel, and they're told to work in that thing. And what they do is the broker that goes to the village to retrieve the girls, they give a loan to the family and then bring the girl to the city, give her an expensive phone, nice clothing, all the best food, really nice apartment. And so the debt just keeps compiling and piling and piling up. And so before she's even started working, she has all this debt that she has to pay off. And then they tell her, oh, well, you have to pay it off by doing sex work. And so if they refuse, oftentimes they're beaten, or the family is threatened because they gave money to the family. So they feel stuck and caged in that industry. And so to get out of it, many times they get older, and they go back to the village as an older, experienced sex worker, and they recruit younger girls to replace them, and that's how they can get out. We're seeing big problems in the families as well. Weddings are very expensive if you have a girl in Nepal. Just the family is expected to give a large sum of money to the groom's family. And so it's very expensive for poor families. So rather than losing money, they're actually selling their children to make money. And so we see this huge, huge problem in Nepal. And in Kathmandu, the city that we're living in, we're seeing dance bars and massage parlors and cabin restaurants. And these are all just a cover for brothel. And so a cabin restaurant, it's not a restaurant. They don't serve food. Man goes in. It has around the tables, there's walls. And so they go in, they get a drink, and they negotiate how much to pay for the sex. And then they go into these brothels. Next slide. What's really staggering is the amount of Nepali girls that are going to India. This is very conservative, 6,000 to 11,000 annually. I've heard the number of 20,000 girls every year are going to India being trafficked. In the red light districts of Mumbai, there are 100,000 sex workers, 30,000 are Nepali. That's 30% of the girls in Mumbai are Nepali. And so we see this huge, huge problem in Nepal. Next slide. And so, as Nepalis say, they say ke garne. They always say ke garne, and that means what to do. Whenever anything happens, they just say ke garne, and they kind of flip their hand like this, like, what do we do? And so I feel like God is really giving us a lot of insight through his word. And if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Exodus 3, verses 7 to 9. But this passage is strikingly similar to the situation that's happening in Nepal. And as you know, it's the Lord speaking to Moses through the burning bush, and he says, "I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of the slave drivers. I am concerned about their suffering." And so the Lord, he sees the suffering, and he's concerned about the suffering. And we believe that the Lord is putting trafficking into the light globally and also in the church. We as a church, we need to take notice of what's happening globally around the world, and especially in Nepal, of what's happening to these girls. And so in Nepal, in churches, trafficking is not really talked about. It's taboo to talk about it. And so what's happening is these brokers are posing as pastors and going into the churches and recruiting girls from the churches and trafficking them, selling them. So it's just this huge problem that's happening. But we know that the Lord, can you go back to, yeah. He sees it and he's concerned. Okay, next slide. "So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey." And that's our prayer, and that's our belief of the girls that are in Nepal and the girls all over the Himalayas that are being trafficked, that they're going to come out of that place and into that freedom in Christ, into that good land, that land flowing with milk and honey. Next slide. "And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." And so we see the Lord giving this command to Moses to go and bring my people out. And I believe it's the same command that he's giving his church today, is to go into these places and bring these girls out of slavery. Next slide. And so what does that look like in Nepal? How do you just go into a place and pull out a girl? It's very difficult. And so one of the ways that God's people is really moving is through this network called Mukti. Mukti is a Nepali name. It just means salvation or redemption. And so basically, Mukti is about 30 different Christian organizations. Just think about 30 Christian organizations that are working against trafficking. 30 in the city of Nepal. And that's not even including all the organizations that are still Christian and non-Christian that haven't been coming to this group. And so you can really see the huge problem. But we're meeting together, and our number one focus is to pray against trafficking. We get together, we pray, and then we network and we connect. And the beautiful thing is to see God's people come in unity. And I'm reminded from Jesus' prayer in John chapter 17 about how when people see God's people in unity, they'll know the love of God. And so it's really neat to see God's people coming together. And, you know, some organizations, they work maybe with awareness, and some with prevention, and some with rescue. Some give alternative work placements. Others have safe homes. Other organizations do recovery. So it's neat to see if a girl is in being trafficked, she can be rescued by one organization, given work by another, put into a safe and nurturing place in another organization, and get that counseling and that recovery in another organization. And so in the next slide, we just want to share a story about this girl, Sally, and how she was working with one of the organizations in this Mukti network. And so many people knew who she was. She went to the same church as many of us did. A lot of people went to her wedding. She was someone we knew really well. And so one day she was walking, and a car pulled up next to her, and a guy jumped out of the car, grabbed her, and started pulling her into the car. She had just enough time to get on her cell phone and dial her friend and say, "Help, I'm being kidnapped." She was put in the car. She was drugged. She fell asleep, and the car headed to India, to the border. And so her friend that she had called a lot of people from Mukti, and we all got together and we started praying. And as she arrived to the border, the drugs just wore off, and she was able to jump out of the car and escape. and to call the authorities. And so she went back to Kathmandu from the border, and she wanted to press charges against the men who trafficked her. And so what happened was the men that trafficked her countersued her, paid bribes, and she was put in jail for over a week, where she was beaten. She was suffered lots of trauma. And just the story of her getting out of jail was a miracle. And so people were praying the whole time. And as she came out, so we had lawyers come. We had lawyers fight for her case. We had her put into a safe home. And now she's actually part of our art recovery group that Cyan is going to share about. But as we were praying for her, I saw a picture of a bird that was flying and soaring and picking up sticks. And he was picking up the sticks and building a nest in like cupped hands. And I really felt like God was saying this bird was Sally, and she was soaring in freedom. She was free, and she was picking up the sticks, and the sticks represented victories, and she was building victory upon victory upon victory into the safe place in Christ. And that was God's hands. And so this is her piece that she did at our art program. And you can see she drew a house. And it looks like the house is made out of, you know, kind of lots of lines or sticks. And so Sian's going to come up and share a little bit about the art recovery program that we're involved in.
Going back to the passage in Exodus, God rescued the Israelites out from Egypt, but they spent years and years wandering. And in some ways, we've find a connection with these girls after they're rescued from these brothels and the sex industry. They still have a lot of things to go through in order to fit back into society. And We believe that our role is right now at this point in our work is to kind of be there for them during this time where they're figuring things out and in a sense wandering and trying to find that freedom, trying to enter into that promised land. And so one of the things that we're doing is this art recovery program. If you go to the next slide. We use a lot of different media so they can experience a lot of different feelings and thoughts. And we have different themes for them to think about, such as coming out from captivity into freedom and what those things from their past were. And we try to make it a very creative environment for them to not necessarily use words, because a lot of times this kind of background is, it's difficult to put words to it. And it's also a culture where you don't really talk about what you're going through. And so art is a really good way for them to just be able to express themselves and to just work through some of those things. So for 12 weeks, we 12 weeks at a time, we host these classes, and I was really encouraged at the end of this last class. Sally, the girl that John talked about, she expressed that she shared that when that this time right now in her life is very difficult, but whenever she can come into this class and draw and just get into creating things, that she feels really happy or just a sense of peace. I think it's a way for her to remove herself from some of that trauma. So that was very encouraging to know that there's some growth happening in these girls. One of the challenges for me is we're still not at a point yet where we can just communicate freely in the Nepali language, and so sometimes it's difficult to talk to them, but I think through this art form we're able to, and then we also have a translator that works with us who is great in interpreting. If you go to the next, this back one, this I think in the video that we showed a few months back, I explained this, but I just wanted to quickly explain it again. These are self-portraits that the ladies did, and the first week we did the one on the left, and what was neat about this project was not as much the process or the actual making of it, but actually after they finished it, we kind of held them up and had them interpret the art, and it encouraged them to actually speak about what they're thinking, which in that culture, again, especially women are very oppressed and they don't have many opportunities to say what they're thinking. And so it was a good way for them to just be able to talk about their pieces. And we talked about how this piece, was like a tree. This person was like a tree, and, they had many different colors and brush strokes and that resembled their experiences from their past, and how some of those, as you can see, some of those colors are very bold and a little bit dark. Maybe they went through some hardships, and yet they're a tree, and there's some kind of some strength seen in her that and so as we were talking about that, I could tell that girl was connecting and encouraged by the interpretation. And then the following week, we did another self-portrait. And this was, they did it blindfolded so that they were okay, to encourage them to make mistakes and to say it's okay to make mistakes. In the end, you can still have interesting pieces. And so at the end, we again talked about this, and somebody said that the yellow part on the top there looked like a tiger. And then someone said that this, again, looks like a tree. And on the side there, the water. And so maybe there was a river. And as we were talking, God kind of reminded me of a verse in Psalm 1 that those that are planted by, those trees that are planted by streams of water will bear much fruit. And that led into being able to talk about Jesus and Him being the living water, and how when we are planted and we know that living water, we are like that tree that grows. And no matter what kind of hardships, no matter what kind of tiger appears, that they can continue to grow. So it's not, this group is not just about art or about emotional healing, but we're able to, I think that God is opening a lot of doors for us to present the gospel and to really invite the girls to know what true freedom is. And if we go to the next slide. This is the art show that we completed right before we arrived in Korea, actually. And so this was recent. This was a really empowering event for the girls. It was the final art show, and they, I could tell some of the girls came up on that day, and they looked at all their pieces up on the walls, and their eyes lit up, and they were just, there was a lightness and brightness about them. And it was very, the whole objective of the art show was for them to feel empowered, to know that they're special, that what they put out on that paper, who they are, because each piece has a part of who they are on them, and that is important, and that they matter. And I think for a lot of them, this was the first time that they had experienced kind of a event that was about them. And so that was really encouraging. And we're passing out certificates here. Certificates are kind of a big deal in Nepal. And It kind of puts a stamp on that they did something. And so it was really neat to do that. And also to just to be able to summarize the whole program for the girls, but also for their friends and family, and to share, you know, this is what these girls are about. And they're walking through this journey, and they're beautiful. And so, yeah, that was very special. If you go to the next... other ways that we're involved in, just before I go into this, we're also constantly praying about how God is opening more doors. And so we're excited in the next class, we're going to have a music therapist come to our group, and we're going to try to combine music and art, and so that's really exciting too. And we're having one of the GSIS girls come for a couple of weeks, and she'll be doing some art workshops, and so it's neat to combine again, network and use our varying skills to minister to these girls. The Christmas outreach. Some of you may have heard about this. Last Christmas, we were able to, through the network, Mukti Network, we were able to gather resources and presents and people to go to these cabin restaurants. And so we gathered some of these girls. There were about, I think, several hundred girls that came. We had them at different locations. And the location where we were at, this is where we were, there were 30 girls. And at the end, all of them said that they wanted to receive Christ as their Lord and Savior. And that was very exciting. And again, we feel like our responsibility is to follow up and make sure that they really understood that. So we're just praying. We're praying about how we can do that. One of the ways that we have followed up is by going with one of the short-term teams that came from America with Mountain Child. We had them go to that same area. If you go to the next slide, go to that same area. Those are some of the cabin restaurants right there on the top. We did a medical camp for the girls, and as a result of that, three girls were rescued, and they're now out of the industry and in a safe place. And I believe those three girls are going to be coming to our art program next when we return to Nepal. And so following that medical camp, we did an Easter outreach, and we were able to share the gospel to about 100 girls that came. We had an Easter picnic out in some garden, and we were able to share the message of Christ. And again, we were able to contact get the contact information of some of the girls, and we have some people following up and connecting with them. And we know that there are some girls that are wanting to come out of the industry, but again, fear keeps them in there. And so we're just praying and waiting on God to reveal opportunities for us to go and get these ladies out. If you go to the next slide.
And so we talked about how God's people were slaves in Egypt and how they came out and they had that period of wandering. And so here we kind of pick up the story with Joshua. And Joshua is speaking to the commander of the army of the Lord. And I really like this encounter that he has and kind of notice his response to this encounter. It says, then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence. You know, oftentimes we see trafficking and we feel it's like this huge insurmountable wall, kind of like the wall of Jericho. And we're in Nepal, and a lot of times we just hear depressing story after depressing story, just things you can't even really comprehend. And so oftentimes it looks like this huge wall, and like, how are we going to get through this thing? How are we going to do this thing? But we're just really encouraged by God's word that it says he sees that, and he cares, and he is in position for the victory. And so as we see here, Joshua, he is taking his position of one. He fell face down to the ground in reverence. His position is one of worship. And so that's what we feel our position should be, is to take that position of worship. And so, Cyan, you can go to the next slide.
This is a quote we really like about missions by John Piper. It says, "Missions is not the ultimate goal of the church. Worship is. Missions exists because worship doesn't. Worship is ultimate, not missions, because God is ultimate, not man. When this age is over and the countless millions of the redeemed fall on their faces before the throne of God, missions will be no more. It is a temporary necessity, but worship abides forever." If you go to the next slide. "Worship, therefore, is the fuel and goal of missions. It's the goal of missions because in missions we simply aim to bring the nations into the white-hot enjoyment of God's glory. The goal of missions is the gladness of the peoples in the greatness of God." And so that is our prayer in what we're doing over there. And we ask that you would continue to pray in this way, that we would come to that position of worship daily, and that we would know God's greatness, God's glory, and just the realization of his glory. That in itself will open doors and have us respond in ways that we would never, we could never dream of in our human natural state. And so, and we pray that for, you know, our main ministry with the art group is that space would be that space, when they enter that space, that they would be entering into holy ground, and that they would know that there is something different about that process of healing. That it's not just them doing art, but there's something more, and that they would seek that, and that we would be there to guide them into that. And so, we appreciate your prayers and need it, and thank you for all that you do. And if you go to the next one. So we just want to end with this psalm. It says, "Let the peoples praise thee, O God. Let all the peoples praise thee. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy." And that's what we want to end with. I think we're going to have some of the children come and praise and worship. And we pray that we would be able to do that. They're making funny signs up there.
Let's give them a hand this morning. Just stay right here. I know many of you here in this room, you've traveled to various places around the world. We have a very diverse community here. You've seen a lot of things, but having spent quite a bit of time in Nepal over the last 15 years, I know some of the very real challenges that not just of addressing the needs of the people that you've seen in this presentation, but also just the challenges of walking out daily life in a place like Kathmandu with children. And they really have signed up for a hard task. I mean, they really have. One trip to that area will bring it home to you, and you'll see some of the effort that's involved. They're very courageous people, and I think we just applaud them, and we want them to know that we're behind them and that they're not there alone. I believe that they know that, but we want to reaffirm that constantly. And one of the ways that we can do that is by continuing to pray for them, continuing to support them financially, getting behind them with encouragement. And I hope that today, maybe if God has touched your heart and you have been touched a little bit with a burden that I know grips their heart about the plight of these women and children in that part of the world, I want to encourage you to have a conversation with them, to support them financially, actually get behind them. We as a church, we're behind the work there in Nepal. 10% of everything that comes in here goes directly to the unreached world there through Mountain Child in the Himalayas. But if you want to give something specifically to them, I just invite you to do that. I encourage you to do it. They need help. They need support. And we want to do all that we possibly can. John read from Joshua about how Joshua met with the commander of the army of the Lord there to take Jericho. We were praying just this last year together there in Nepal, and God really confirmed to our heart some of the strategy behind their efforts, that really Joshua and the children were able to take that city largely due to an insider in Jericho, if you remember the story. And if you don't, that insider happened to be a prostitute. Her name was Rahab. And God used her as a key person for the conquest of that land. And we really believe that God is going to use some of the people who have been trafficked and who are in the brothels. He's going to take those lives. What the enemy has meant for evil, God will turn for his good. Just like Rahab, who was a prostitute, now stands in the annals of human history in the genealogy of Christ. God has included her into his family quite literally, and we're believing that God is going to take some of these victims, some of these survivors, and use them to do great things for his kingdom in that part of the world. And so on the back of that, we're also excited with the Bible college that we have, that there are students coming to that college starting the new semester starts in September 24th of this year, and there are 5 girls who have been rescued who are now enrolled in that program to learn how to be evangelist in the unreached world. I think that's a wonderful turn of events, and where God can bring great glory through what the devil has meant to bring, where he's meant to bring harm. I just want to pray for John and Soyeon right now. So would you stand with me as we do this? We're not finished here this morning. I'm going to ask Pastor John and Joe to come forward, and let's just pray for them. If you feel to stretch out your arm, we just want to get behind them as the family of God and as a church, and really bring them before the Lord. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. Lord, we're so inspired by how you are using this couple and their children to make an impact in a part of the world that is really difficult, God. It's not easy to walk life out, much less ministry in such a place. But Lord, I know and I have seen with my own eyes and evidenced the wonderful light that is coming from them to dispel the darkness and to bring freedom to those who are held in bondage and captivity. And Father, I thank you that we as a church can wrap our arms around them, that we can join with the heavenly host and bring support to them and be behind them so that they will know that they are not alone, and greater is he that is in them than he that is in the world. Lord, let us stand with them shoulder to shoulder, arm to arm. Lord, behind them in prayer, behind them in support, behind them in encouragement. I thank you that blessings overtake them as a family. Lord, that you inspire them from the inside out. Let a great river erupt from within them to flow out to the women they are reaching, to bring great healing, to bring great hope, and that a reputation of the healing power of God flows throughout those communities, and others come and taste and drink from that living water and know that God is good. Father, we thank you that you keep a watch over them, that you protect them, that you put a barrier around them so that no harm from the enemy can enter into their household or their family. I thank you, Lord, that you are their rear guard, that you go before them to bring great victory in every battle they face, and that you are their champion, God. You are the victor in their life. Father, we thank you for them today. We are so grateful that we have the privilege to stand with them in a place in the world that needs this message. Lord, send them on their way with great strength, with great encouragement, and with great blessing. Father, we thank you for this. And everyone said amen, amen. Thank you, guys. Give them another hand as they go back and take their seat. They're going to be in the back of the auditorium after this service has concluded in just a few moments. If you want to have a conversation with them, they'd love to talk to you. If you want to know how you can be a part of what they're doing, they'll answer those questions. If you have specific questions about anything they've talked about or something that they haven't covered, I know that they would love to be able to address those things. God bless you.
Okay. So, what is the vision of our church? Freedom, strength, and purpose. You know, we're so thankful for Pastor Jack and Jenny and John and Soyon and people pioneering the way who have already experienced the freedom of Jesus Christ as our Savior. They have experienced the strength of the Word and the Holy Spirit, and now they're living on purpose, you know. And that's the vision of this church, that we on purpose seek God and make Him known to others, that they can know this freedom, strength, and purpose. And you know, the same truths that run amongst us as adults in main service, they run through kindergarten, through dig, through blitz, and through youth. And this morning, I have a real privilege to introduce blitz to you. Blitz and youth have been learning about prayer. They've been learning the Lord's Prayer, which says, Father God, your name is holy. And you want me to bring heaven to earth. And that's as far as we've got in the Lord's Prayer. And we've been doing projects. And they're going to come and minister a song to you this morning. Now, as they do that, I don't want you to think, oh, wow, that's our kids, because it is some of your kids. Well, in fact, it's all of our kids. If we're part of the nation's family, these are our kids. These are the ones we're looking to become the next John and Soyons. That's what we're looking to. That's the whole purpose of us being here, is to lead people into their God purpose. And so as young people, they have this song. And I want you to really listen to the words of the song, because they're going to impart to you what God's been saying to them. Are you ready for the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Father God, to speak into your heart? I'm sure He already has, but it hasn't concluded. It's coming through us as a church family, of which John and Soyon are part of. Okay, God's message to us. And some of the words in the song, when I look in, all that I see, then I know everything I'm meant to be. And they've been looking into what are the problems around us. They've been looking at things like bullying. They've been looking at Nepal and some of the things that John and Soyon face over in Nepal. They've been looking at North Korea. They have been looking at family life with divorce and moving and just challenges that can cause people's heart to struggle. They've been looking at death and addictions. Just some of the things that we see day to day around us in every country of the world. And as they have looked at these things, they've looked up and they've seen, this is what heaven's like. This is what Father God says. Now, how am I going through prayer and through action? Because prayer is the most hard work ever. Why is prayer hard work? Prayer's hard work because it's the place where you speak to God. He shows you what heaven's like, and He says, now bring it to earth. Prayer isn't where we just throw out a request to God to make my life nice. Yeah, God will help you. Amen. Absolutely. But prayer is way more than that. The work of prayer is where we know what God wants. We see it. We hear it. And we take the challenge on board, which was the challenge of the cross for Jesus Christ. We take that on board and we say, okay, now I'm going to bring it to earth. So they've been looking into what they see on earth. They've been looking into what they see in heaven and looking up. And they've realized one thing. I have the answer. It's Jesus living big inside of me as my Lord and Master. So I'm just going to hand straight to them and let them speak to your hearts this morning.
In the mirror, I'm an ordinary kid. I'm just like you, only a little bit different. All by myself, you wouldn't think that I could do much. But let me tell you what it's like to be amazing. When I look up, I see the way he looks at me. He says I can do anything. When I look in, all that I see is everything that I was meant to be. When I look up, I know the best. A world that's waiting on me, 'cause I got the answer. Jesus living big inside of me. About to start the race, so come along with me. I want to show you how you can do anything. There's something more to you than everybody sees, 'cause you're amazing. When I look up, I see the way he looks at me. He says I can do anything. When I look in, all that I see is everything that I was meant to be. When I look up, I know that there's a world that's waiting on me, 'cause I got the answer. It's Jesus living big inside of me. I got the answer. He lives inside of me. I got the answer. He lives inside of me. I got the answer. He lives inside of me. I got the answer. When I look up, I see the way he looks at me. He says I can do anything. When I look in, all that I see is everything that I was meant to be. When I look up, I know that there's a world that's awaiting, 'cause I got the answer. When I look up, I see the way he looks at me. He says I can do anything. When I look in, all that I see is everything that I was meant to be. When I look up, I know that there's a world that's waiting on me, 'cause I got the answer. It's Jesus living big inside.
Praise God. Isn't that a good message? Yeah, I think we should sing that song in worship service. That's serious. Jesus living big on the inside of us. That's what's going to change this world. It's not the politicians. It sure as anything isn't the movie scenes and the music scene. It's Jesus living big on the inside of us. I really pray that message will challenge you as you've heard that and taken into your heart this morning. It's been a beautiful morning just to see what God is doing and to know that that's part of us. That's part of us. We are part of what God is doing. Seriously encourage you, go chat, support, pray with John and Soyoung and Judah. Also want to ask you to pray for Pastors Jack and Jenny. On Tuesday, this coming Tuesday, they leave for the States. Purely going across there to pioneer the work of Mountain Child, the missions ministry of the nations. Pray that God will go before them, order their steps, give them great favor. I believe that the work that they are doing, that we are doing, is definitely in God's plan. And we pray that God will join with them, partners, and those that will work together with us to further this work, to reach more and more people in the Himalayas, that they can find Christ as their Savior. Amen? Amen. You may just get interested. You may just get convicted. You may just get that pull in your heart and say, I want to be involved in that. Praise God. Praise God. If that's not you, there's a lot of people around you every day of the week who needs to see Jesus big on the inside of you, who needs to find a Savior and a Lord. Do you agree with that? Are we going to go and make a difference? Father God, we thank you that you have made a big difference. You've made an eternal difference in our lives through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Thank you that you empower us to go and make a difference in our world. We just echo those words of blessing upon John and Soyan and Judah, the other missionaries that are working there for you in the Himalayas. God, just be with them, but also be with us, God, and give us the words, the boldness, and the courage to see Jesus manifest through us. We praise you for your goodness to us in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen, amen.